Good time of prayer. We thank the Lord for the blessing of that. What a privilege to know the Lord and to be able to come to Him, lifting up our requests to Him with thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. We know that it's Easter this weekend. We're going to celebrate the resurrection. And of course, before there could be resurrection, there had to be death. Crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and traditionally that is celebrated on Friday. There's another viewpoint that he was crucified on Wednesday, and yet another he was crucified on Thursday. That's not my intent tonight to discuss that, but yet I would like for us to think about the crucifixion. Psalm 22 is where we would like to go tonight. A very familiar psalm to many in this room. Some maybe not so familiar, but as much as I would love to look at this whole psalm and even read the whole psalm, tonight we're just going to be looking at one verse. We know that this is a messianic psalm, speaking of the Lord Jesus. He quoted the beginning of this psalm while he was upon the cross. Possibly he quoted other parts of this psalm. He definitely fulfilled this psalm, and particularly there on the cross, as we think of him with the first 21 verses of this psalm, the first 20 and a half for sure. But as we think of that and think of the Lord Jesus and his crucifixion, I want us to look at verse 6, where the Lord Jesus says, prophetically, David said literally, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people." I am a worm and no man, or I am a worm and not a man. Tonight I'd like for us to take these few minutes and just gaze upon a self-proclaimed worm and consider three senses in which he was a worm. Based on the use of the Hebrew word translated worm here, I want us to just meditate and think about that for a few minutes. This, we believe, is the worm, the type of worm of which the Lord Jesus spoke, the Hebrew word that is used here in Psalm 22. Not the kind of worm we think of, an earthworm, but yet a worm. And that's a picture of what we think was that worm. It's a modern day picture, as the Lord Jesus spoke of himself as a worm and not a man. Bildad, in speaking to Job, says that man is a worm. And the Lord Jesus, through the lips of David by the Spirit of God, says, "I am lower than a man. I am a worm." Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 39, if you would, for the first of these three senses in which we will just meditate very briefly of the Lord Jesus there in his crucifixion. And first, we see him as a loveless worm. Deuteronomy 28, in verse 39, as Moses speaks to the children of Israel before they went into the promised land and spoke to them of how under the law of Moses, obedience would result in blessing and disobedience would result in cursing. And here in verse 39 of chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, we read of one of those curses. If they disobeyed God, we read, 39, "You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them." The worms shall eat them. So this worm was spoken of as a devouring worm. The same word is used in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 7 when God had brought up a gourd to shade Jonah from the heat of the sun. And then the Lord brought the worm up, and the worm devoured the gourd, angering Jonah. And I'm sure that these Israelites, when they experienced their grapevines being destroyed and them not getting any grapes to eat nor wine to drink off of those vines because of these worms, I'm sure they hated those creatures because they devoured the crop. And they wanted to get rid of those worms. And the Lord Jesus said, I am a worm, a loveless worm, an unloved worm. They hated Him because His life and His teaching devoured all that they depended upon, their own self-righteousness. And the Lord Jesus stood before them in His perfection and in His Word, speaking like no man had ever spoken and ever will speak again. And in doing so, He devoured all of that pretense around them, and they hated Him. He was unloved. In Psalm 22, we read further into the Psalm, verses 12 and 13, many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. Verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. He was a loveless worm. They hated Him. They hated Him in His life and ministry. They hated Him as He hung upon that cross. They gathered around Him like animals. In Luke 6, in verse 11, after He healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day, we read that the religious people were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. In John 11, verses 47 and 48, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council together, those religious leaders, and they said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. John 15, 25, the Lord Jesus said, this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Psalm 35, 19 and Psalm 69, 4. They hated me without a cause. But tonight, in this place, He is greatly loved. He's always been loved by His Father. In 2 Peter 1:17, Peter, who was on that Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus along with James and John, he testifies this of the Lord Jesus, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He may have been hated. He may have been loveless as a worm hanging on that cross for us. But the Father loved Him. Though He turned His back upon Him in those hours of darkness because He was made sin for us, a worm. Even separated from the love of the Father then. But now again, in His presence, the Beloved One, pleasing His Father in all that He did, and we gather tonight, 1 Peter 1:8, and He is the one whom having not seen, we love. We haven't seen Him with our eyes, it's just been by faith, but we love Him. We love Him for hanging on that cross. We love Him for being made a worm for us, a loveless worm. Well, let's move along to the second one in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, and here we will see the word used in another way, and it reminds us that the Lord Jesus, there speaking of Himself in Psalm 22 as a worm, He was also a worthless worm. Viewed as a loveless worm, viewed that nobody cared about Him, and also viewed in that He was worthless. Interesting verse, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, as the Lord speaks to His people, the people of Judah. He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You may be saying, I don't see worm in that verse. But actually the word crimson is the word that we have in Psalm 22 and verse 6. The word for worm. You see, this worm that we saw earlier was worth more dead than alive. Because that worm, the female of that worm, would hook onto a tree and with her beak would begin to draw the sap out of that tree. And there against that tree, she would lay her eggs under her body, and then she would die on that tree. And after she died and her body dried, people could come along, and if you scrape that worm off, you would find a deep red crimson color. And they would use that to make their scarlet crimson dye. You know, that little worm was worth nothing alive to the people of that day. Nothing. They wanted to kill that little thing to get something good out of it. The people of the Lord Jesus' day despised Him. They considered that He would only have value to them if He could be killed. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. There was no beauty in Him, Isaiah says in chapter 53 of his prophecy, that we should desire Him. John 11, verses 49 and 50, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to the council as they spoke of trying to deal with the problem that this man Jesus of Nazareth, this self-proclaimed Messiah, was causing. He said, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." You see, if we can rid ourselves of this man, then we can preserve our place. We can hold on to what we have. If we can only rid ourselves of him, he's worthless. He's no good alive. He will only benefit us if we can kill him, just like a worm on a tree. And tonight, we're gathered in this room, just a small handful of people, 7 billion people in the world. We're just a little smidgen of folks, but we gather here tonight, and there are many others around the world doing the same thing. Some gathered, some ungathered. But tonight for us, we come together and we see Him as more precious than anyone else ever could be. More precious, more valuable to us than anything ever could be. We read in 1 Peter 1:19 that His blood is precious because He too went to a tree and He allowed them to attach Him to that tree, and there on that tree He died and His precious blood came out of His body. And in doing so, He gave birth to us, as it were, to our forgiveness, our salvation. 1 Peter 2:4, He was chosen by God and precious. 1 Peter 2:7, therefore to you who believe, He is precious. Worthless to them that day, precious to us every day. One final one, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And here we have God speaking to the nation of Israel. He calls them Jacob, whose name, of course, was changed to Israel. Isaiah 41 and verse 14. Here we read about a helpless worm. Isaiah 41, verse 14. "Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." You see, that worm was helpless. That worm had no defense mechanisms. That worm had no horn to defend itself. It had no loud noise to make. It had no speed to get away from something or someone that tried to kill it. It was totally helpless, a defenseless creature. And the Lord Jesus hung on that cross, a worm, helpless. The one who spoke the universe into existence, the all-powerful one, had yielded His right to defend Himself. And he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Psalm 22:11. He cried out, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." And when he hung on that cross, we have recorded in Matthew 27:41-43 that the chief priests and the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. He's helpless." We hung him on that cross, and he's helpless. He's a worm now. The Lord Jesus hung there, willing to suffer for us, willing to take our punishment upon himself for our sins, willing to yield up his right to strike them all dead and us as well. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And tonight, we come together as we think of his crucifixion. And in doing so, we see him there in his helplessness, his weakness. But we also see him there in his power. John 10:17-18. He said, "I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." Yes, tonight. Well, we lost it. That's all right. Tonight, we love Him who humbled Himself to be a loveless worm. We value Him who humbled Himself to be a worthless worm. We trust Him who humbled Himself to be a helpless worm. And I'll just close with Philippians 2. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I am a worm and not a man. But, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And that's how we see him tonight. Our hearts are bowed. Our knees are bowed before him. Our tongues are confessing, "You are Lord. You went to the cross as a worm and you hung there willingly. And you allowed yourself to be loveless and considered worthless and seen as helpless. But we know who you really are. And we acknowledge you and we call that out tonight to all who will listen, angels and demons alike, humans and inanimate objects. Whoever will listen, we call out, you are worthy, you are Lord. And we love you, because you first loved us." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. We had prayed beforehand that your Son would be lifted up. And he said that if he was lifted up, he would draw everyone to himself. And we thank you, Father, for his willingness to be lifted up on that cross, to hang there, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be spat upon after having been beaten, crown of thorns put on his head, nails in his hands and his feet. Father, we thank you that as he hung there, and the religious leaders of his day, totally missing the reality of who he is, looked at him as a worm, loveless, worthless, helpless. And Father, we thank you that he was willing to be made a worm for us. He was even willing to be made sin for us. That we could come here tonight and that we could say, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus, that he died for our sins and rose again, that we can say, yes, he is Lord, to your glory. Father, might he be glorified in our lives, not just when we sit in a room of believers. Might he be glorified in our lives in everything that we do, everywhere we are, may we be so thankful, Father, that Your Son, our Creator, became a worm for us. Father, we thank You. Pray that we might humble ourselves before others and before You. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you.